At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
Yes, but this was the wildest weekend of college football, so there's going to be fluctuation. So it's like, what do you value more, being undefeated or playing quality competition?
I want to see you play quality competition. That's what I want to see. That's what everybody wants to see. What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Monday edition of Crane & Company. And in season, you know what time it is when it's every Monday rolls around. It's Power Ranking Day. All right, now, there was more movement than we've ever had in these Power Rankings. We've done them every single week of the college football season. As usual, David Cone, former Michigan quarterback to my left, Blaine Crane, former Western State Colorado wide receiver to my right. And this is probably the one that we had the most disagreement on in the back end with teams moving. But the two biggest things we want you to understand if you're watching this is, one, we want to be consistent with our ranking. And I think we accomplished that, at least the methodology of who's where and why. And also, this is a snapshot of where we are right now. This is not a projection like when we do our college football playoff rankings of this is the way we think it's going to end up based on everything that's happened. This is where we sit as of today on Monday. So make sure if you're not subscribed, you hit that subscribe button. Make sure and keep sharing the show. Going to pin a comment as well. We want to know if you agree or disagree with us. But David, just first off, before we get into it, and we'll start with the honorable mentions, then go 15-1. Last week, if you look at our rankings, we had the number 3 team through the number 6 team all lose this week.
Yep. This was the greatest weekend in college football so far this
year. I agree with that.
But this was also the toughest ranking, not just to make this year, but the toughest one that I can remember ranking in a while.
Well, and we've talked about, and I think it was, I mean, you go really 1-8 here again, you can make a legitimate argument for teams to be higher, maybe some to be lower. But I think, Blaine, 1-3, which we'll get into, which most people probably have the same, is pretty much universal right now with Oregon going into Penn State.
You can, yeah. I mean, you can change each of these teams from 1-3. I don't think there would be an argument. We could sit here and say Oregon could be the number one team in the country. Mm-hmm. We can sit here and say Ohio State could be the number one team in the country. We can sit here and say Miami could be the number one team in the country. But what it comes down to is what matters more, the best win or a worst loss?
Yeah.
And if a team has both, how do you compare them to the other team, especially if it's a snapshot right now in time? It's not only wins and losses, but it's how you look in those wins and losses.
And some teams obviously look different now when we thought, hey, maybe Clemson, you know, was more of a quality win at the time than it looks right now, which you can make the argument for. But I want to start out with our honorable mention before we get in the top 15.
Being honest.
And this is going to piss a lot of people off, but hey, look, at the end of the day, we can't make everybody happy. Our four honorable mentions, we have an undefeated Georgia Tech who survived at Wake Forest. Wake went for 2, and the win,
Robbie Ashford
was able to stop them. Haynes King and them do it again. Then you've got Tennessee as honorable mention. I'm going from a descending order here. The one loss, obviously, at home against Georgia. Doesn't look as great now because Georgia lost, but Tennessee still has to be there. They beat a Mississippi State team that, say what you want, beat Arizona State. They look a lot better than they did last year. Jeff Lebby's done
a really good job
in 2 years.
Should be ranked.
In the top 25.
Yeah, and we'll get to the AP poll obviously later, but how they're not ranked in the top 25 when you have Arizona State at 25 when Mississippi State beat Arizona State, that's a conversation for another day.
Yeah, and then David, the two that I think are going to create the most problems with some people, and I get it, but I want you to go through kind of what we talked about, because there's similarities here with Texas and Penn State.
Yeah.
Two teams that we had ranked in the power rankings last week. Penn State, we had pretty high. But for all the people that are like, how the hell could you just drop Penn State all the way out? If you look at Penn State and Texas, now that Penn State lost their one elite matchup or good game, I mean, it makes sense for them to be right next to each other.
Yeah, and look, this was the toughest ranking so far this year, and there's not going to be any perfect order for people. It's tough to move Texas out after they were on a bye week, and it's tough to move Penn State all the way out when your loss was against Oregon in overtime. But here's what I was saying to you guys is Texas to me, or Penn State, is reverse Texas. So Texas gets their toughest test week one. They lose by a touchdown on the road to the Buckeyes. If there's any such thing as a quality loss, that's it. Then your wins 3 in a row over Sam Houston State, UTEP, and Sam Houston.
Yep.
Haven't seen you tested since that loss. Penn State, reverse Texas. You got to start the year against Nevada, FIU, Villanova. How do we know? Then you host Oregon and you lose. This is what I'm going to call the James Franklin paradox. And every fan needs to answer this question for themselves at home. What is more impressive? To beat all of the teams that you're favored against, but to lose to every team that you're not favored against. Or, and there's consistency in that, right?
100%.
Or the volatility, where we're going to get into Florida State a little bit more here, the volatility of, man, we have some really bad losses, but when we play the best competition, we beat them.
Yeah.
Every fan needs to answer that question for themselves.
Well, that's what a lot of people were saying about Indiana getting in last year with their schedule. They beat all the teams they were supposed to, and they were favored in most of those games, especially down the stretch, but they didn't have that huge win. But you got to 11 wins, right? 11-1, whatever it was.
Yeah.
So they had to put you in the college football playoff. But that's why when you look at where we start with who we have at 15, with LSU, again, to the audience, we want to make sure that you understand in these segments. So basically, you can follow it. You know, 1 through 8, very similar methodology. 9 through 9 and 10, similar methodology. 11, 12, similar. And then 13, 14, 15, which you'll see. So LSU is at 15. And LSU falls in the category of you have a couple, I guess you'd say, good wins. Or maybe slightly above average wins now, beating Clemson on the road. And again, that looked a little bit different than it does now that Clemson has the three losses. And then you beat a Florida team that's obviously struggled as well, who I believe plays Texas this next week going into it. But LSU falls all the way to 15. You're still in it. But in order for that to make sense and to have something to compare to, I want to go ahead and throw 14 up here, Blaine. And that's Florida State. So you say, what is the difference between LSU and Florida State? Well, there's one glaring difference. Florida State has a much better win when you look at that Alabama win now, especially what they did going in and beating Georgia, than LSU has over Clemson or Florida. Now, LSU has a better loss, and you'll see what we mean by that when we show you where Ole Miss is ranked. But when you have a great win or an elite win like it looks like Florida State has right now, and then you have a quote-unquote Virginia's ranked in the top 25 in the AP, so it looks like
they're pretty good. Virginia's got Chandler Morris. They got some guys.
Loss.
Right? Yeah,
that's why they're ahead of LSU, and I think you agree with that.
I mean, you have to agree. I don't know how you don't agree with that, to be honest. And to be honest with you, if these teams went head to head right now, as inept as LSU is on offense, I'd probably go with Florida State. But that Alabama beating Georgia makes me feel a lot better with putting Florida State in front of LSU.
Yeah, yeah. It's not. I want to make sure we're not comparing apples to oranges. But in this case, Coney, and you're going to see this throughout. It's what do you value more? A great win with an okay loss, or an okay wins with a great loss? Like yeah, that's what
and,
it comes
and
down.
Here's
to.
Another thing too: is LSU's wins, like you were talking about with Clemson and Florida, those look worse and worse by the week. Florida State's win over Alabama looks better and better by the week. But when it comes to Florida State, LSU, or even Texas and Penn State in those honorable mentions, I don't know which one of those teams would win a game in a neutral site. So at some point, it also comes down to the eye test of how they're playing. And each of them have different problems, the way that I see it. I mean, one thing for LSU is you just don't look good on offense right now. And not taking advantage of being able to run the ball better against an Ole Miss defense that hadn't given up fewer than 170 rushing yards, that's a problem. On the flip side of that, though, Florida State, it didn't just look like you lost to Virginia because you looked past them on a Friday night.
No, they beat
Virginia beat you.
Yeah.
And that's a problem to me with Florida State's defense. So whenever you're like, man, how can you move them, you know, like at least leave them in the top 10, you also have to take into account the problems that you're seeing fundamentally on each team.
And it sucks for if you're LSU because you would have never thought coming into week 6 that a win against Clemson and Florida would look worse as the
season
goes.
And it's not their fault.
No, it's not their fault.
Because they're going to have every chance to make up for that.
For sure. And again, we're only in week 6 and you can see the fluctuation, especially now. Let's throw up the next three, because there's a lot of similarities. We have Vandy at 13, Iowa State at 12, and Missouri at 11. What do you notice in the similarities with all three of those teams? Yes, they're undefeated. They have some good wins, but they've also just looked good. Like, we feel like we know the identity of each one of these teams. You know, Blaine, we've seen what Bo Prabula's been able to do.
Missouri's looked good.
They just looked good. The run game looked good. They looked like a complete team. Iowa State, again, Kansas State hasn't been phenomenal, but every time Iowa State goes on the road, beats Iowa, I believe that game was at home, for the Cy-Hawk Trophy.
And they just went and beat up an undefeated Arizona team.
Yeah, they did. Iowa State, I mean, hell, they've played more games than just about anybody. We feel like we know who they are. They're going to be in it in the Big 12 race. And then Vandy.
You beat South Carolina's ass in the second half of that game.
No, they're killing people.
I know the Virginia Tech, you know, win doesn't look amazing, but those three teams are very similar, and they're undefeated with good wins. That's why we put them over there. But, Blaine, what do you say to somebody who says, oh, well, Iowa State, Vandy, or Missouri hasn't played a caliber of opponent that FSU and LSU has played, even though FSU and LSU have one loss?
I mean, obviously you haven't played a top five team in the country, but you still have good wins. All three of those schools, I'd probably say the Missouri, what's your best win? Kansas? Yeah. The difference with Missouri is I can look at Missouri and know that they're a good football team on both sides of the ball. And if you don't think Vanderbilt's for real, I can promise you, I mean, game day is going to Alabama this weekend for Vandy, Alabama. Who would have ever thought that we'd have to say that? And it comes down to a lot, like not only the wins and losses, but to me, it is eye test, right? You can look at a team and go throughout the entire game and know somewhat they're worth. Not even the opponent, but different. They're playing Villanova if you're Penn State or somebody. But I think you can legitimately look at Vanderbilt and say, they are a good football team.
Yeah.
It's not a fluke that they're winning games. Same thing with Iowa State and same thing with Missouri. They're not Texas, who's playing Southwest Sam Houston every other week, or Penn State, who played just the death and the blind and they get beat by Oregon.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with all three of these teams being right here. And I think you can make a legitimate argument for them being right where they should be.
Yeah, and David, I want to ask you something, because this is another area where we kind of talked about before we came together in this ranking. But Vandy's going to get their chance this weekend. They go on the road to Tuscaloosa. We're going to be dropping a preview of that game. We've already dropped our Miami-Florida State preview, biggest game of the weekend, in my opinion, even though game day is going to Tuscaloosa. Make sure you check that out. But David, to those who say, to our Georgia Tech brethren, who say, wait a minute, Georgia Tech's undefeated, right? Georgia Tech beat Clemson, right? I mean, but when you look at the wins overall with Georgia Tech and then the way they looked against Wake Forest, they were kind of the sacrificial lamb a little bit of just outside in the honorable mention, because, again, it's going to make sense as we keep moving up to the
board. I still really like this Georgia Tech team. I like Haynes King a lot. It's tougher for me to go out on a limb and vouch for you in the top 15 after you play Wake down to the wire like mm-hmm. that. But, again, still undefeated. Just take Iowa State, for instance, on a neutral side against Texas. Texas would probably be favored. I might take Texas, right? But Iowa State, undefeated with wins over Kansas State, Iowa, and then Arizona, who was undefeated until this past weekend, 39-14, Iowa State beat them.
Yep.
How about Missouri, Penn State, neutral site? I don't know. That'd be a heck of a game. And they're always going to get compared to each other with Bo Prabhula transferring out. If you ask a lot of Penn State fans, they might say, man, we wish Bo Prabhula had played against Oregon. Yep. Maybe we would have had a better shot. Or is that the development of the Missouri coaching staff and Drinkwitz that's helped Bo Prabhula come along? I don't know. But again, the margin for error here and the margin for difference really is so small from any of these teams that are ranked to our honorable mention.
All right. Go ahead.
No, I just can't wait. I just can't wait to see if Vanderbilt somehow beats Alabama, where they put Vandy.
No, if Vandy goes on the road and beats Alabama, they got to be a top five team.
Where else would you put them?
Because Alabama, I think you can make a great case, I don't want to get too far ahead, has the best win of the season so far, winning on the road at Georgia. But that's a great segue into another segment that we have. These are our last one-loss teams. So the last teams you will see on this ranking with one loss, they're back-to-back. They're Georgia at 10, and they're Alabama at 9. Now, where Georgia is separate, and David, I want to go to you so we can kind of keep this in the same frame of reference to everybody out there. Where Georgia is separate to me from FSU and LSU is Georgia does have a really good win mm-hmm. on the road at Tennessee, who we have an honorable mention. Then your loss looks like a pretty damn good loss right now with the way that Alabama looked and the way that Alabama played with them coming in and playing you. But when you look at Florida State and people say, oh, because you made a great point on this, but Florida State beat Alabama. So if they both have one loss, how is Alabama ahead of Florida State? I thought you explained it perfectly.
Yeah, well, if it got to one spot for a head-to-head and they both have the exact same record at the end of the year, that's where that would come into play. And I understand everything that, say, Danny Cannell has been saying on social media about head-to-head has to matter. But if you run that experiment out, then you'd have to rank Virginia ahead of Florida State.
For sure.
Then you'd have to rank NC State, who beat Virginia, ahead of them. And then you get into this situation that's just unsolvable.
It's a transitive property.
Exactly.
It doesn't work.
From like a puzzle scenario. But I just came away from the Alabama and Georgia game saying those are two really great teams. And here's how you really know. Who would want to line up against either one right now? Alabama has done every single thing you could possibly ask a team after the Florida State lost. Mm-hmm. They've done that. And Georgia, with a three-point loss against them, no one wants to play either of those teams right now.
No, and what I'm going to find fascinating as we continue to move on is trying to see once conference play, whether it's the SEC, Big Ten, ACC, or the Big 12, when you have those 3 to 4 weeks of absolute carnage where a lot of these teams are going to play each other. We mentioned Vandy and Alabama playing. You've got Alabama and LSU coming down the pipe. Like, it should sort itself out to a certain extent, but you feel like there's going to be so much carnage that you're going to be able to make cases for teams, you know, at different points in the season. But when you look at where that FSU win over Alabama looks now in this week, it's just like saying, well, you got to look at Clemson differently than you did in the first week. It's where we're at right now. But then at the end of the year, I thought it was a great point. If FSU has one loss and Alabama has one loss at the end of the year, and I know this is just a hypothetical, you had to pick between each of those teams who to pick, then I think you go to head-to-head.
Yeah, for sure.
But until we get to the end of the year, we don't have enough info, because that means FSU beat Miami. That means like a lot would
I'll
have
tell you
had
one more
happen.
Thing, though, with Alabama and Georgia. I think we saw a preview of the SEC championship game. I think, and if not there, then I think these two teams will find a way to play each other again in the college football.
Let's just see how
There's something that's going to happen where there's a rematch of that game this year. Starting a podcast can feel overwhelming. You got scripts, setup, filming, schedule, logos. We're all just trying to figure it out, just like we had to when we started this show. When you're launching something new, your to-do list grows daily. Finding a tool that both helps and simplifies can be a game changer. For millions of businesses, that tool is Shopify. Can I get a money-making sound?
Cha-ching!
Thank you. Shopify powers millions of businesses worldwide and 10% of all U.S. e-commerce. Just pick one of their hundreds of templates and customize it to match your style. And creating content, that's where their AI really shines. The best part is how easy marketing becomes. You can reach your customers wherever they are. Shopify handles everything else: inventory, shipping, returns, all those details that you don't have to worry about. If you're ready to make sales, you're ready for Shopify. Turn your big business idea into a
cha-ching
with Shopify on your side. Sign up for a $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/crane, C-R-A-I-N, shopify.com/crane.
All right, so the rest of the teams you will see on this list are undefeated, and we wanted to reward them because they have multiple things in common. One, they're undefeated. Two, they have beaten a really good quality opponent, and I don't think anybody got more help this weekend when it comes to moving up our rankings than Indiana and Kurt Cignetti at number 8, because Illinois beat a ranked USC team after Indiana, Blaine, just beat their ass to death.
I know
they went on the road and won a low-scoring game against Iowa. Sometimes it goes down like that, right? I can't believe I'm saying this. Every game isn't Iowa-Rutgers where it's a shootout, right? So sometimes you go over there and you got to win games in multiple ways. This is what great teams do. But having Illinois, Blaine, beat USC
is huge
for Indiana down the stretch, especially if there's a 10-2 situation or even a 9-3 situation. We'll see how the rest of the schedule works out. But Indiana undefeated.
It's just
quality win.
Yeah.
Beating Illinois and then handling
it. I don't know why. Maybe just I can't tell how good Indiana is.
Mm-hmm. I just don't know.
I don't know. You beat an Illinois team 63 to whatever, could have beaten by 1,000. Iowa sucks. All right, I'm going to say it. Look, I love everything y'all do. But it's just Iowa's not a good football team. They have a couple good defensive players. They just found out what empty was this year on offense. They just found out the formation. They just found it out.
Iowa, they knew what empty was. Points on the score. I just don't know.
You think this Indiana team's better than what they were last year?
I think they are. I think
Mendoza, is that the difference?
I think Mendoza's better. Hell, I wanted Mendoza at all.
Well, the great thing
I'm
about
screaming it. God, please.
The great thing about Indiana is, look, we're going to find out.
Yeah.
We're going to find out. You're on the road at Oregon. So I might be bye week this week. Then you're on the road at Oregon. So we're going to find out about Indiana. It's just, I don't know why. And I like Kirk Cignetti, Mom Spaghetti, there's vomit on his sweater already. I get it. It's just, I just don't know how good Indiana is.
Well, I use this in the terms of football, but with Indiana right now, what these wins are doing, they're providing you a little more cushion for the pushing. You know what I'm saying? If it gets down into it, you're buying yourself. That's why that Indiana-Illinois game was so huge. The winner of that, You feel like when you look at the rest of that schedule, 10-2, even though they got to go on the road at Oregon, there's a couple tests on there, but you got to feel good if you're Indiana, obviously,
yeah,
not being undefeated and the way that you play. They look like they know who they are.
Well, now you can lose to Oregon and Penn State.
That's it. That's my whole point.
Yeah.
That's
what,
you just, if it's chalk the rest of the way,
you make it.
Indiana's in the college football playoff for the second year in a row, which is insane that those words are coming out of my mouth in that order. But the next team, David, a team that I tell you passed the physicality test for us. That's the one we wanted to see. That's Texas Tech out of the Big 12.
Yes, sir.
Undefeated, huge road win, big road win, handling Utah with your backup quarterback coming in there who, I mean, hell, but played better, I think, than what we've seen Morton, and we know Morton's health issues here down the stretch. But Texas Tech looks like a quality team. That's our second Big 12 team that's in there. David, right now, when you're looking at these teams that we're about to talk about, that a lot of people are going to have a good idea who they are, is Texas Tech elite at this point in your
Well, opinion? I'll tell you what, I think they're really, really good, and we didn't know up to that point because they sort of fell into that camp of, okay, you're playing a bunch of Sam Houston-type teams, and no disrespect to them, but how great of a snapshot can we truly get until you go play someone of quality? I've never seen a team answer so many questions in one single game like they did against Utah. First of all, can you even beat a team like Utah? They answered yes. Can you beat a team like Utah on the road? Yes, they could. Can you beat a team if your starting quarterback goes out and the backup has to come in? Yes.
Yeah.
Can you beat a team if you commit 14 penalties on the road in a game? Yes. They did it all in the same weekend, and Utah is going to continue to look good. I think that's going to continue to look like a really good win, and you beat them by 24.
Yeah, not only did you beat them, but you beat their ass.
You beat them by 24.
Yeah, and a lot of people had Utah, I mean, as one of the, you know, top five teams.
And it wasn't just like...
And look, Utah couldn't.
And another thing, it wasn't just some offensive shootout 45-40.
No.
Can you beat a team with your defense leading the way? That was what was most impressive.
Yeah.
Forcing turnovers, punching the ball out, physicality, playing sound, gap discipline. Texas Tech answered all those questions.
And that's the one question we typically have about Big 12 and ACC teams is defensively, are you good enough to be able to win a national championship? And so far, Texas Tech has met the physicality bar and even more. Guys, I want to move on because there's some similarities here. Obviously, in our next two, we got Texas A&M at 6, all right? And we have Oklahoma at 5. Now, I know A&M offensively looked inept against Auburn, but A&M, to me, is finding ways to win games that they typically would have lost in the past. You are now undefeated with a road win over Notre Dame. We know they made that play at the last second. That one's looking better and better as Notre Dame just absolutely murdered Arkansas to the point where Sam Pittman had to be let go, you know, basically the next day. We're going to get into that a little bit later. But when you look at Oklahoma as well, with the Mateer injury, Blaine, we are going under the premise that he is going to be back and he's going to be able to play to his full potential because it's not a season-ending injury. That's why Oklahoma is still there. But your two undefeated teams, Oklahoma, that win over Michigan looks good. We can't penalize you because you haven't gone on the road and played a good team yet, but you are undefeated. You look really damn good on defense. Offensive line is the biggest question there. But A&M and Oklahoma, who do you trust more if Mateer's healthy, neutral side?
Oklahoma. How good really is Texas A&M? I mean, do we know? You beat a Notre Dame team that's really bad on defense. I mean, we've seen that throughout the year. You go back to the Miami game. And then you beat an Auburn team who, I mean, on offense, it's perjury. Like, you can't even watch it. So, Texas A&M, I mean, their defense has looked inept throughout the year somewhat. In my opinion, I don't even count the Auburn game because they don't have a quarterback. They're playing all running backs in the backfield. Oklahoma, the real question for Oklahoma is you have a bye week. Well, you have two bye weeks. You have a bye week, then Kent State, and then you have Texas. All right, is John Mateer going to be back for the Texas game? And if he's not back for the Texas game and they lose, how much do you punish Oklahoma?
Well, it's again, if Mateer comes back and he's balling and this, that, or the other, that's one thing. But again, I just hate, and this goes back to Florida State being kept out of the playoff, I hate using injuries over body of work to this point. Because again, but it's a real thing. It's just it's a weird line to cross. But to me, it has to be even with another team for you to use that as an excuse. Like what happened to Florida State to me was BS. But I mean, David, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, neutral site right now. Who are you taking?
Well, right this second, I'd take Texas A&M because John Mateer wouldn't play in that football game coming back from surgery. But those are the questions for each of them to me is, what does Texas A&M do? How do they find a way to win a game when there's a competent defense on the other side? Say you're facing a defensive mind like Kirby Smart. Can Texas A&M still find ways to score, and can the defense hold up enough for them to be able to win in multiple ways? Not on the Oklahoma side of things, can you go on the road and get quality wins against opponents? And I don't think, you know, we can't talk about the John Mateer injury enough. Like, they're a different ball club with him.
For sure.
You had the bye week. Great. The surgery went well. Now you're going to get Kent State with Hawkins Jr. coming in as the backup who got some quality playing time a year ago. And then what, South Carolina and Ole Miss back-to-back? When does John Mateer come back? Do you feel the need to rush him back before he's ready? Do you make that decision? Do you wait until he is ready? And even when he is fully ready, is he the same quarterback that he was, say, in week two when you're beating Michigan?
No, it's going to be interesting to see. Again, shout out Dr. Shin.
Build him a statue, man.
Yeah, ironically, Dr. Shin works on people's hands. I just thought that was kind of funny. All right, number four. And they made a big jump, just like they have everywhere. The Lane Train. Ole Miss, and before you say, wait a minute, but Oklahoma and Texas A&M and these other teams undefeated, how's Ole Miss up there? Well, it's pretty simple. They beat who we had number three in our power rankings last week, I believe, LSU at home, and I thought answered some questions defensively. Now, we can get through the, you know, is Nussmeier hurt, LSU on offense, why aren't they doing this, why aren't they doing that, but I don't think you can take away anything. Talk about a backup quarterback coming in and winning games for you. We talk about Hammond and Texas Tech. What Trinidad Chambliss is doing at Ole Miss, he's just coming in and taking the reins. He's the guy. He's got to be the guy now. And you look at this Ole Miss team, Blaine, I think they deserve it. I mean, how, again, you know, we're going to, these three teams above them, you're probably going to have a good idea who they are. But like we talked about in the recap a little bit, how good can this Ole Miss team be?
Well, it's going to come down to defense. That's what it's going to come down
and
to.
And they showed up.
To be honest with you, I don't know when the last time a backup quarterback's won a Heisman. Right, that'd probably be a stat that I'll look up here in a second. But I think Trinidad Chambliss is that good. But what it always comes down to when it comes to Ole Miss, it's never the offense. All right, it's always the defense. And can Lane Kiffin beat the teams he's supposed to beat?
Reverse James Franklin.
That's what I was about to say.
Can he beat the teams he's supposed to beat? He can go off and beat a team like LSU at home. Hell of a win. But you can't fall to, you know,
Kentucky
or an Arkansas or something that like that if you're Lane Kiffin. But what it's going to come down to, Ole Miss, phenomenal win, phenomenal. What matters more, in your opinion? One huge win with just beating teams, FCS teams, for the rest of the schedule, or multiple good wins instead of having that huge win? Do you think we're overreacting to Ole Miss by jumping them all the way up to four?
I don't, just because of the landscape of everybody else. Like, if there was, you know, just a batch of teams, and again, they're at four. It's not like they're at one. We're about to show you why they're at four and the difference between them and the three teams above them. But to me, I will judge your team if it's all undefeated versus, you know, a one elite win versus a couple of good wins. Like, you know, obviously Ole Miss's wins versus, you know, Oklahoma's wins. I think the Ole Miss win over LSU looks better than Oklahoma's win over Michigan. I want to see what you do against the best of the best. That's where I'm going to, at least in my mind, who I think's the best.
Well, not only is it the win over LSU, but the Tulane win's a good win.
You know, and you
Arkansas
beat their ass,
and Kentucky went like all of the, at some point, all of these are good wins in a scenario where you could theoretically lose them. Right? I mean, we are watching other teams across the country lose to some teams that we question, but this is the flip side of the James Franklin paradox that I brought up, which is it's all well and good to figure out a way to beat LSU when you're super motivated and their starting linebacker is announcing that he's dating your daughter, but can you go on the road and beat the teams you're supposed to be able to make the college football playoff? That's the Lane Kiffin question.
That's 100% correct, and that's the hump that Lane Kiffin hasn't gotten over. All right, let's go ahead and put the top three up there. We got Oregon at three, Ohio State at two, and Miami at number one. And when you look at the difference between, again, these three teams, you can make an argument for any of these three teams to be number one. Now, the question kind of becomes, when you look at Miami's schedule, with that win over Notre Dame, with the win over Florida, with the win over a quality USF team, this is when you get into, Blaine, what you just asked. Do you prioritize multiple good wins over maybe an elite win? But the problem is, I don't know if you can call Ohio State's win an elite win over Texas right now, the way that Texas has looked. I think it's hard to say that. We may get an answer to that if Texas looks, you know, great down the stretch on offense and figures it out. And then you look at Oregon. I mean, again, you go beat Penn State on the road. It's a great win. But when you look at Penn State, to David's point, what he's brought up, not being able to beat these elite teams isn't an elite win. Because there's that argument, we kind of kept this order 1-2 the same as we had it last week. But, I mean, David, you could make the argument for any of these three teams to be.
Yeah, I think so. And if you ask me who do you think is the number one team in the country, I would say, well, who do you think is the best team in the country? I would probably say the Buckeyes. But Miami has more quality wins, and I think they're more deserving of that spot. So I'm fine with the way that we have it right now. Oregon going on the road in front of 110,000 strong in a whiteout. Huge. What an impressive win for Dante Moore and Dan Lanning. He continues to find ways to beat these teams. Doesn't matter if it's 3-3 at halftime. Doesn't matter if it's a 45-41 shootout. The guy just finds a way. And just looking at it all complete right here, because this is the first time we're looking at our graphic today, it's like, yeah, I get it. Like, Penn State fans can say, well, we're dropped too far. We should easily be in that 8-12 range, but I'm not going to have a lot of pity for you when you can't find a way to beat these teams and win these games that you need to. I don't care what you do against Villanova.
No, and it
doesn't matter.
Yeah, and it's this. It's not based on brand. It's based on resume. Like, if you look at this cup or bowl of one-loss teams, who has the best resume? Well, follow the bouncing balls in our order. Alabama. You lost at Florida State, but you beat Georgia, who we had in the top five, at Georgia on the road. Well, Georgia, you beat a quality Tennessee team, right, that we all believe. I think a lot of people agree. You beat them on the road. You lost in a thriller to Alabama at home. Both of those resumes are better than Penn State's when you look at who Penn State has beaten and then who Penn State lost to. Even though we got a ton of respect for Oregon, Penn State doesn't have that Tennessee win on the road. Penn State doesn't have that Georgia win on the road. Penn State doesn't have the Bama win at home, like FSU at 14, or even the Clemson win on the road like LSU at 15. So there's a logical argument on why Penn State is not in. It's the same reason why Texas is not in. To me, I think maybe the biggest gripe, and this is weird to say, is now that we look at it, either Georgia Tech or Tennessee not being where LSU is. I could understand if Tennessee fans are like, well, wait a minute. You know, you look at our schedule and what we've done, we could be where LSU is. Because, again, your losses to Georgia, who's a top 10 team, that's where I think maybe a legitimate gripe could come in, but we have a legitimate argument against it.
Yeah, I mean, if you really want to, you could find something in this that you don't agree with, which is understandable. There's not going to be 100% perfect top 15 rankings out there, but damn
I don't know,
it,
that's pretty damn
close. Damn it, I feel like we're pretty close.
Yeah, and again, this is where we're at right now. This is not, we're not saying this is where we think these teams are going to end up. We'll do that later in the week. So again, if you're on audio, it's 1-15, Miami, Ohio State, Oregon, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, A&M, Texas Tech, Indiana, Alabama, Georgia, Missouri, Iowa State, Vandy, FSU, then LSU, and then our honorable mentions are Penn State, they're Texas, they're Georgia Tech, and Tennessee. I don't know, Cody.
So we'll have two top 15 showdowns this weekend.
Two top 15.
Right? Florida State, Miami. Florida State, Miami, Vandy, Bama.
Yeah, and now going from the best ranking to the worst ranking that we typically get every weekend, it's the AP poll, the top 25. To your point, Blaine, that you made earlier, how Arizona State is at 25 and Mississippi State is not in the top 25 is
shocking. How's Texas at 9?
I don't know. I don't get it. I don't know how, you know, I can understand Ohio State 1, Oregon 2, Miami 3. We all get that. Ole Miss 4. It's basically the same combination that we had really in our top 6. I'm just wondering, what has Penn State done that Indiana, why is Penn State ahead of Indiana when Indiana's undefeated, went on the road, beat the number 22 team 63-10 when Penn State is beating absolutely no one. That's just going off brand to me. I don't get that.
Yeah, Mississippi State, Arizona State's a great point because you have a head-to-head comparison there amongst teams who have the same record. I do, like, they have Virginia moved up to 24. I think it's worth mentioning that Virginia is technically undefeated in the ACC, even though they have a loss to NC State.
Yeah.
What were you saying about this?
Well, so Virginia and NC State, this isn't like it was in the Big 12 where you had all these new teams and They had scheduled a game to play each other before they joined the conference, so it didn't count as a conference game. Virginia and NC State just wanted to play each other to keep a rivalry going. And
they're in
the same conference, but it doesn't count as a conference game. So NC State beat Virginia, which is huge.
This completely changes the scenario.
100%.
Now, even though Virginia has a loss to NC State,
it doesn't count against their conference
undefeated
record.
In the ACC with a win over Florida State in a conference that already may come down to some sort of weird tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Another one that kind of blows my mind as well is that you've got Michigan at 20, and their only loss being on the road at the team you have ranked fifth. But then LSU is 13. I don't get that. Without a win over a ranked team. Now, I know they lost to the number 4 team on the road, but, I mean, how is there that big of a gap? How is there a 7-team gap in between LSU and Michigan when in reality it's basically the exact same thing? I don't understand that.
I just legitimately think these people do not watch the game.
I don't think they do either.
I don't think they watch the game.
Yeah, I don't think
like there's no way, unless you're just trolling.
Yeah.
Unless you're trolling on purpose, there's no way you watch the games on Saturday. And it's not only, it's every week. Mm-hmm. Like every week the AP poll comes out, it's a disaster.
Yeah. So, let me ask you a few questions here, cuz BYU with the comeback win over Colorado, how do you guys view BYU right now?
I can understand why they just slipped in there, but I'm not ready to sit here and say I think BYU is one of the top 25 teams in the country with that resume. I've got nothing against them. I hope it works out for them, but I would not have them in the top 25. I've got to see them against better.
All right, so what about Illinois losing 63-10 against Indiana, but then you come back and you beat a ranked USC team? That was a good win for them.
Well, you defaulted back to where you were 2 weeks ago. Remember that they got murdered by Indiana, and the AP still kept them in the top 25. We were like, hey, they should be out. That's crazy. Well, then you kind of make up for it and beat USC at home, and you kind of default go back to where you were. You really haven't moved, which I get that now that we've seen it. But at the time, Illinois should not have been ranked after they lost to Indiana. Like
okay,
that.
Yeah,
they
for sure. And then the last one, Notre Dame, obviously big, huge win
playoff
against
team,
Arkansas. Yeah. Well, they are going to work their way into that conversation based off the schedule.
Yeah.
Well, now, let's see. The USC game is going to be interesting, but that may be the only ranked team they're playing on the schedule moving forward. But here's my question. It's not so much about Notre Dame. Is how can you How can we continue to count that as a good win for Miami and for Texas A&M moving forward? Because Notre Dame's going to win a lot of football games, right? We can't discount that they lost to the two best teams, but then also count that as a good win for Miami and A&M. I can see that being a conversation later in the year.
Yeah, well, and it's just like, how does Clemson look the rest of the year? Because it could change the way if Clemson gets hot and starts playing the way we think. That win for LSU could look way different than it does now, kind of the way it looked at the beginning of the season. This is why, until we get to the end of it, going through it week by week, teams are going to fluctuate and it's going to change based on you know what we see over a full body of work at the end. I'm just, again, you're a 2-2 team. Miami shouldn't move. We're going to see Miami against Florida State. Obviously, this weekend it's going to help, but it's the contradictory nature of the AP that just upsets me. So and again, it's going to be like this probably every week.
Notre Dame's going to make the playoffs.
No, they're not. No, they're not.
They don't play a ranked team for the rest of the year.
Well, I don't think they're going to get rewarded then. I think a 9-3 SEC team is going to get over them. But Woo! Let us know in the comments. What do you think? Where are we right? Where are we wrong? Where's the AP poll right? Where's the AP poll wrong? We appreciate you guys. Any parting shots, power rankings tonight? All right, let us know. You guys are the best. Hey, it's another good slate. Don't let anybody tell you anything different coming up this weekend. Like the chances of us not being excited about it. We're going. Damn it!
Boy, you got bricks.